Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant, what happened last night? I'm not even going to project my own personal feelings. I'm asking you, what happened last night?
The Braves offense, once again, was in absentia, and that's happened too many times this year. And I don't have any more answers than anybody else, and certainly no more than the guys that are trying to figure it out. But the frustrations continue, and this offense and the consistency it's looking for is just not there.
Brother, we went back and looked at the 2021 team because, you know, a lot of Braves fans, I mean, you got to have heart, and they do. Mm-hmm. And they look back at 21 and say, look, you're going to have to win 100 games to win the World Series. You know, it's got to get hot at the right time. But yep. Going back, even if you take it, look, going all the way back to when Acuna got hurt and beyond, everybody in that lineup hit. Dansby hit, Freddie hit, you know, the role players, guys like Heredia hit. Nobody had us kind of like OPS as bad as what we're seeing on everybody but Acuna and Olsen.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, it certainly wasn't a juggernaut offensively, though. I think that's pretty safe to say. It's just
you got some
of the right guys in there. You got, some big performances from guys like Freeman and Swanson and a host of others. I mean, that was more of the it takes a village approach to winning a World Series than, hey, let's get together a superstar team, spend $500 million and see what happens. I mean, there are different ways that you can go about getting there. But like you said, it's about getting hot at the right time. But you also have to play a consistent enough brand of baseball to punch your ticket to October. And that is currently what the Braves are struggling with. And you brought up the OPSs. I mean, you look at four different spots in this Braves lineup that are not just less than ideal, but essentially in many ways just black holes that even if you get three, four, five other guys going, which would be nice and is not currently the case, it's hard to overcome that because half of your lineup may not be able to keep that line moving. And I know that's a cliche that you may have heard in the Braves vernacular going back a couple of decades, but it's true. If you have links of that chain that are consistently broken, it is hard to expect it to be able to pull anything. And that is currently the problem for this club. You've got Michael Harris. You've got Ozzie Albies. You've got the left field situation, which is bad. And then you got Nick Allen, who I don't know if a lot of people have noticed this or want to hear this, but I'll bring it up anyway because it's what I'm paid to do.
Yep.
Nick Allen's OPS has now passed Michael Harris's, and that is something I never thought I would see this year because I didn't know that I was going to see this much of Nick Allen, who is a great fielder and who gives you a scrappy at bat, but the expectations were certainly not on Nick Allen to be the guy that's trying to keep this lineup going. You've just got to get more from the guys that you have, and they continue the search for answers and for results. And you talk to them on a regular basis like I do, the frustrations are there. I mean, I asked Brian Snitker today, I said, look, 2023 was what it was. 24 was its own year. 25 is its own year. But Tim Hyers walked into a situation where the expectations were one thing and the results are another thing. I mean, how do you size up where he is right now? And he said, look, Tim is working. He has got great information. He is doing everything that he possibly can. But being a hitting coach is one of the hardest, if not the hardest jobs in the sport, because you can't guarantee the results no matter how good your process is. And individually, collectively, the Braves on the whole seem to be a team that just cannot seem to find the right answers, the right plan to get to those results.
Grant, what about the walks? I mean, last night is we don't walk enough as a team, but last night was a prime example where we don't draw any. How do you explain that as far as the point about Tim Hyers and Skip talking about it, where you say, hey, we just got to be more patient at the plate? I know they're preaching that, but like it's not showing up.
Yeah, I mean, it's all an approach, and there are a couple different ways to look at it. I think we may have talked about this either earlier this week or last week, so I'll be brief about it. But one of the things that they identified that Braves hitters weren't doing was being aggressive enough early in counts on hittable pitches, i.e. fastballs over the middle of the plate, pitches to do damage on. They're just not getting it done collectively. And I'm not talking about Ronald Acuna Jr., but just about everybody else, I think, has kind of struggled with that at some point this year. Austin Riley has said as much. I know Matt Olson is on a 27-game on-base streak and is the other productive hitter in the Braves lineup right now, but the power is not necessarily there for him. It's been a month. He's got three home runs. And I'm not knocking Matt. Trust me. I mean, he's doing some things, and everybody wanted to see it, especially the clutch variety.
Right.
But you're just not seeing it as much. So to answer your question, this version of the question this time, is that ultimately you can have that great approach. You can do all the work, and they are. But once you get up there, what choices do you make in execution? I don't know how you connect those two links of the chain, to use that analogy again. And I think they're still struggling and trying to find it, because you want to, at some point, put the mental side of the game to the side and say, okay, I've done all that work. Now I physically need to rely on my instincts and my preparation to execute at the highest level. And that is not happening.
It's like Groundhog Day. You know, these conversations we're having, because, you know, we spent time about Money Harris and, you know, I mean, do you at some point, because you said yesterday, guys were asking us today on the text line, who are you going to put in center field if you sit Money Harris to go take a mental health break? You know what I mean? All of a sudden you're going to have even less, you could argue less production and not as good defense.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to give him a day? You can play Eli White out there. But, I mean, you've seen that left field, at least for now. I mean, we can talk about Jerickson Profar's return. Should that help? Yes. Will it help? I don't know. Ronald Acuña Jr. came back, and the Rays have gone 13-16 in the 29 games, I believe, that he's played, or 13-18, I think it is, in the 31 games that he's played. Either way, it hasn't moved the needle, because one guy is not going to do it. But it's multiple guys. And how do you get each individual that opportunity? I don't know if it's a break that he needs. I mean, I know a lot of people have asked, as he continues to Carl's point, not be able to draw walks. And the on-base percentage for the month of June is 170 for Michael Harris, by the way. That is clearly not a good thing. It's almost like the Braves are carrying a pitcher's spot in the order because of the lack of production over a long period of time. So you don't have a bunch of options in AAA. I know a bunch of people have been saying, oh, this Carlos Rodriguez guy looks interesting. Maybe you could throw him out there, but I don't have high expectations of him. I'd rather get Michael Harris right to solve the problem. But for him to get right, he's going to have to play every day. And I don't know if the Braves will be forced into that, you know, that critical mass or that decision point where, hey, Jerickson Profar is back. Are we going to consider our option with Michael Harris to very literally send him out to get his work done and then come back after a week or two? They did it with Dansby Swanson. It's not off the table, but it's certainly not anything that anybody wants to see happen.
Talk to us about the Phillies. What do they look like coming into this series? Do they look any different than the last time we saw them? And we know how big the series is.
Yeah, I mean, they're going through a rough time as well. They have not played very, very good baseball themselves in June. They're without Bryce Harper. They are without Aaron Nola. He's been out for a while. So they're trying to patch it all together and find some consistency as well. But it's a long season. Mathematically, this weekend, they will play game number 81, as will the Braves. And we'll see what the second half, literally, of the season is going to look like. But the Phillies are a club with its own issues and own problems and not coming in with a ton of momentum. So if the Braves want to capitalize on this string of games that we started talking about 10 days ago of 13 games against divisional opponents, what can you do with it? You take 5 out of 7 against the Mets, that is great. You lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, that is the opposite of that. Mm. And it seems like everything for this period is going to hinge on, can you beat the Phillies in the series? Can you go on a nice little run to bookend this 13 games with another sweep? Because you are back at home where you do play your best baseball of anywhere else. So, you know, get greedy, I guess, if you can, but you got to take them one at a time, and that's what the Braves are going to concentrate on tonight.
Right. I mean, I know that we're not in a position at 6 games under to say, we got this. But, you know, the Angels, the Orioles, the A's, you know, you feel like you make some hay.
Yeah, I mean, you would look at it as at least an approachable part of the schedule where you'd feel like we should win more games than we lose. The A's, obviously, are a bad team. The Orioles, I don't think anybody expected them to be bad. But here they are, kind of in a similar situation to the Braves, but probably worse, actually, with how things have played out for them and some big injuries that they're dealing with as well. But the Angels are, what, about a 500 club and have the other half of the Braves team that is no longer here, apparently, because that's the timeshare that is being worked out. But, yeah, these are the series you need to take advantage of. You need to be winning them, stacking them up, and seeing if you can get to the All-Star break at as close to 500 as possible, because, and I've talked about this as well, you know, is this the critical time where you really need the trade? What will it even look like when it's time for Alex Anthopoulos to sit down around the trade deadline and try to get it done before July 31st? We don't know the answers to that, but we're going to find out a lot of them over the series you just mentioned.
Good job, Grant. When are you on this weekend?
I'll be on 5 to 7 this weekend. I'll have Brad Rowland of Hammer Territory on to talk about the Braves at the midway point, and I will preview the Angel Series with Sam Blum of The Athletic. It's 2 hours of Braves and baseball talk. Should be a good time. We'll see how the weekend goes. 5 to 7 on 92.9 The Game, wherever you get your podcast, and on the Odyssey app.
Good stuff. Have a good weekend, brother. We'll talk to you Monday.
Thanks, guys.